Welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd. Joining me today is Wario Will.
It just has been kind of an interesting week, to say the least, and I'm just looking over the fence right now. It seems to me that our friends and neighbors at Sony is trying to steal some thunder from last week's Nintendo Direct, it seems.
Let them try, Will.
Let them try.
And also here is Tellius Tyler.
I have bad news. I'm going to be more impartial these days. And I know the crowd doesn't want that. They like partisan Tyler. And I love that state of play. I loved it. I thought it was great. I watched the whole thing. There was like five games. And I was like, wow, I can't wait to play these. I'm very glad to be a PS5
owner. Right. You are a PS5 owner. Right.
Well, you know what they say, Tyler. A broken clock is right twice a day.
Ratchet comes out in June. Oh, my goodness. We are rolling.
Wait a minute. You're telling me that the PS5 is actually going to have games to play? Oh, my gosh.
The PS5's launch lineup, this does not get talked about enough. It's an insanely great launch lineup. It's like an all-time great launch lineup. Yes, it is.
What is wrong with you?
Okay, it's an all-time great launch lineup.
They had Demon's Souls.
Great.
Okay, fine.
Miles Morales.
That was obviously the showstopper outside of it, like basically being a spin-off side title, whatever. And like, what else was there?
Sackboy's Adventure, great.
Oh, ball, that wasn't that great.
That got super good reviews. What are you talking about?
Great reviews, Tyler.
Same thing for Bugsnax. It's a different title. It's weird, but very positive reception.
Uh-huh.
And in the coming 3 months, there's just going to be more great titles. It's Switch-esque. It reminds me of the Switch. It does. Yes, it is.
I mean, it would be great if people can actually get the PS5. So
that's true.
That.
Okay, so yeah. I agree with that, of course. Breath of the Wild is the best game pretty much ever. So yeah, that sets it apart. But there was a 2-month stretch of nothing for Switch. Same thing for the PS5. Really nice launch titles, and then a little lull, and then they're kicking it in the gear for the rest of the year.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Do you notice that both for the PS5 and the Xbox Series X, which is still a terrible name, that we don't know their sales numbers from launch?
Well, you saw the Joe Biden report, right? Like, they're having trouble. They're having trouble with getting the semiconductors necessary to actually manufacture the consoles.
And
that's
I respect
part of
that,
why they're having all these issues.
But that's not the problem. That's not the question. The question was, why haven't we actually heard sales numbers? Because, you know, this is supposed to be, you know, the PS5 and the Xbox Series X, and it's been months, and I have not seen a single report that's even said they made over 1 million sales. I'm going to
Sony revealed that it sold a whopping 4.5 million PS5 consoles during launch.
When?
Let's see.
Because I'm on a lot
3rd.
Of sites, I really did not see that.
February 3rd.
Okay, so that's recent enough.
This is unbiased, Tyler, by the way. I'm just bringing facts.
Uh-huh. I seriously had not seen a single report about how well they were doing or how terribly they were doing. So, okay, so they launched in November, right?
Yeah.
So, I'll be generous. So, November, December, January, that's 3 months, give or take. And, okay, so, that's not bad. Like, under five. Because I remember, the Switch sold 2 million in its first month or something like that.
Sony selling 4.5 PS5 consoles during its launch quarter means it's on par with the best-selling console of all time, the PS2, which also sold 4.5 million units.
Impressive.
Food for thought.
But still, ever since that launch, you know, in that amazing launch titles, they really haven't done anything. Like, nothing at all.
I remember, like, 6 hours ago when I was a hater, Todd.
Hated. No, look. If Sony wants to try and copy the Nintendo Direct, you go ahead.
It's not as good of a show as the Nintendo.
Obviously
Direct.
Not.
No.
But if they have great titles coming out this year, great. Then the PS5 actually has something to play. So it's just a question of can they match what they did with the PS4? Because like that's the thing that sometimes gets buried is that the PS4 was a super consistent selling console that. I'm pretty sure is the best-selling console of all time now, I think.
The PS2 is still the best.
Okay, PS2 is still the best, but the PS4 is, like, it's gaining. And even though it's obviously going to stop now because of PS5, like, it sold more than the Wii. It's over 100 million. I can't remember what the last number was, but feel free to look that up, unbiased Tyler. And, like, the Switch is going to match probably what the PS4 does rather easily, but can the PS5 match what the PS4 did? That's the question.
Yeah, I'm a little skeptical on that, but
same. So, But oh wait a minute, we're a Nintendo podcast. What are we doing here? So we have an interesting show for you, as we've already just proven. But we got some fun stuff to talk about. But first, what have you been playing? And I'll start this shindig because, as I noted last week, I didn't have the chance or the time to play Project Triangle Heroes plus Knuckles. And I'm kidding, Project Triangle Strategy. And I finally got the chance to do so, and I am intrigued. I am very intrigued with how this is going to go. I'll start off with the story. The story was obviously my favorite part, because even though we were dropped literally into like the middle of the story, apparently, I felt like I understood all of the key elements of it in one form or another. And the voice acting was very well done. I thought that the writing kind of had like a folksy Shakespearean tone to it, which I liked. And I felt it was a very complete story. I mean, you had your typical, you know, kingdom overrun and, you know, major royal family deaths and everything, but they also weren't afraid to call out certain tropes and all that, like a overly eager servant that was trying to please the new ruling body, and one of the characters was like, well, ain't he eager to please, and her brother went, I believe the word you're looking for is sycophant. I'm just like, I was like, oh, that's a good one, that's a burn, it's a burn. So, and the way that, you know, they handled the conviction system, as it is known, or was it scales of conviction, that was it, and how you had to try and sway people and gather information. I feel like I was actually doing it wrong the first time, but I made it work in my favor. I too, Tyler, got a 7-1 vote in terms of saving the prince. The only one I couldn't sway was the assassin.
Me too. I did sway her, so I went back and did it again because I wanted to see if she could be swayed, and she could be swayed. There was a way to do it, but yeah. I don't remember.
Yeah, I was like, I just searched that whole town, and it said that I didn't get all the unlocked options. I'm just like, wait a minute, what did I miss? So, yeah, who knows. But that was interesting, and I didn't do the other option where I would give up the prince. I honestly don't know what that would have been like, but
it was cool. It was very cool.
Okay, I might have to try it again.
You give up the prince, and then he, like, the Archduke tells the prince to order the assassination of the one high house who's like, they stood up to them in the timeline you chose, and then you have to go fight that guy. So
it's an entirely different battle.
It's an entirely different battle, an entirely different battlefield. And like, you can tell that the story is going to be extremely different depending on which path you choose there. Like, the outcome is completely different.
And now I really have to go and change things. That's interesting. So that even makes me more intrigued. The battle system was fun. It's definitely very different from what I'm used to, especially from either turn-based or just strategy-based RPGs. Again, it's basically Final Fantasy Tactics, but the whole, you know, if you could, you can do like a double attack if you have a person on their front and their rear. That was interesting. Having to balance all of their techniques with the point system and everything. It was difficult. The first time I did the Save the Prince battle, I got, like, wiped out really quickly because I set the houses on fire. Spoilers. I burned the whole house down, and I was just surrounded by enemies. So the second time, I made it to where I would burn the houses down, but I had my forces ready to where all the new enemies showed up so I could, like, slowly pick them off one by one. And then I dealt with the boss. And even then, I almost lost a character, which I guess you don't really lose a character on, like, Fire Emblem. It's not a permadeath system, by what I can tell.
Yeah, it's not.
Okay, so I feel better about that. But I wanted to do the whole Fire Emblem I don't lose a single unit thing. It was tricky at times. Like, my hero was, like, literally 2 health away from dying because of a cheap shot. I'm just like, what the heck? That's not fair. So, but I'm very impressed with it. I think this is going to be a very fun title. I liked the notion that you would see, like, cutscenes that weren't directly tied to your characters. Like, you would go off on these little side areas, and you'd see new cutscenes based on the other characters and how they were reacting to things. And since there was a totally different, you know, outcome with the prince, I guess there's even more cutscenes for me to see. So I'm very intrigued by Project Triangle Strategy. Still a terrible name. They need to get with. Are you sure this isn't an Xbox game? I mean, this just sounds like a terrible name for an Xbox title. But I'm very intrigued by this. I really wish it wasn't 2022. Like, I was hoping that the demo was just that little bit longer. Because I was like, come on, I want to see where this goes. I want to see where this goes. And now I got to wait till next year. Thanks a lot, Square Enix.
I think we know the reason why they're focused on that. I mean, I'm not sure, it's probably a different team, but maybe they have some people working on the whole Final Fantasy VII Integrate. So who knows? Maybe there's that.
We'll see. Will, how about you? What have you been playing? Actually, I know what you've been playing, but tell us anyway.
Yep. So earlier this week, Persona 5 Strikers has officially come out for PS4, PC, and Nintendo Switch. And, like, yes, I'll break my code for a little bit, but I have bought the PS4 version due to, one, I have played, have the original Persona 5 original and Persona 5 Royal. I mean, sure, you can also get it for the Switch if you have, like, save data from, I believe if you have Joker from Smash Brothers as well as some other data, you can also get the same kind of DLCs. But I decided to go and get the PS4 version just because, one, I need the extra power and loading times, basically. So basically, graphic fidelity, so just that extra oomph. And gotta say, it is definitely... definitely, it is a fan service game. It's definitely a Musou game, like, through and through. But here's one thing I think I've been trying to look into reviews here and there. But definitely, like, this I want to clarify to you two guys. Because, like, you always want... Because this is, quote-unquote, the first Persona game on Nintendo Switch. I just want to make it absolutely clear. This is not Persona original. This is just a spin-off. Do not think this game is, like, a full representation of what the Persona series is. Because, again, this thing is just a blend between Persona 5 and the Musou, the Warrior style games. So, I mean, personally, for me, again, I have played both Persona 5 Original and Persona 5 Royal, and basically, it's great. It's basically a good service. So, they kind of blended the different formulas of a little bit from Persona 5 with the Musou style games, that with Samurai Wars and all that. And yeah, personally for me, it just feels very fun. I mean, sure, there is the hack and slash, which obviously is going to get repetitive, which, again, that's very notorious in Musou titles. But for me, I love, like, just getting in there. I mean, like, in comparison to, like, Age of Calamity, it's definitely not a war setting. Because, like, in Age of Calamity, it's a clear war. You see, like, basically a massive army. While here in Persona 5 Strikers, it's not really an army per se, but just, like, a very huge crowd. So don't think of it as, like, a whole army base. It is definitely based a bit more on the stealthy type of a Persona 5 original. And just, like, yeah, it definitely keeps the elements of Persona 5, but also try to, like, blend in with the Musou, the Warrior style games. Like, there is a lot of tribute for those who have played Persona 5. And just want to also clear it is that you do need to play at least some knowledge of Persona 5.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask, because I saw a review that said this is a Persona 5 game for Persona 5 players, and I'm and I heard, like, the story is actually, like, a continuation of Persona 5, which means you have to have played Persona 5 to understand what the heck is going on.
Yes, so... That is true. You need to have some knowledge of this game, and there are some moments that actually does spoil the original game, so just FYI. But, so, yeah, that's kind of, like, maybe that is the fence, the deciding factor for those who want to get this game. It is definitely not a standalone title. It is definitely a complementary game if you played the original games. So just a clear note on disclaimer on that. But if you're, like, a Persona fan like me, it is good, simple fun. Is it worth the $60 price? Maybe not.
I'll tell you why it's not. Because you don't have Persona 5 on Switch. That is the only way this is worth it. You must.
Yes. I agree with that. It's definitely not the original Persona 5 that everyone has wanted. And because, like, even now, it is much more cheaper. Because, like, yeah, you could get the original Persona 5 or even Persona 5 Royal for less than that. So obviously, it probably isn't worth the whole $60. If you can get it at this kind of price, yes. But if you play the Persona 5 fan, if you're a Persona 5 fan, you're definitely going to enjoy Musou. I love this. I definitely enjoy my time just because, again, the characters are so... You know these characters, basically going back and seeing old friends again. And, of course, like, the music is just... It brings back a whole, like, yeah, it's good to be back. It's good to be back kind of feeling. So I'll end it right here. But basically, if you are a Persona 5 fan, if you want to just get a bit more extra time with the Phantom Thieves, then, yeah, this is definitely the game to continue on. Is it worth full price? No, but if you love Persona, then again, you love Persona.
I would love Persona if I got to play it.
And yeah, aside from that, also been of course naturally grinding up for a fave because we just got shown up the legendary banner of we finally get legendary Claude, which oh boy. Oh man, how many orbs are gonna sink into that? Because I actually got like roughly 440 orbs now, so I'm good. I can't wait to try to get legendary Claude.
Tyler?
I have been going back into the well and playing a lot of Sonic Mania. I've been in a Sonic mood. I don't know if I've told you guys, but I'm a bit of a fan. Somebody would say I love Sonic.
No, you don't say.
Yeah. Lies. So I've been going back into and just replaying that into like full game with all the characters. So that was fun, obviously. Play that game if you haven't. It's the best Sonic game ever, for sure. But the other game I've been playing is Super Mario 3D World. So we discussed that a little bit last week, but I just finished 100%ing sort of it. I haven't beaten I haven't beaten every stage with every character, so like to truly 100% you need to get all the stamps, and to get all the stamps you need to beat every stage with every character. And because I've played it mostly by myself this time, it's just a pain. I just don't feel like going through it and actually getting every single stamp. So I did it with Mario. I went through and beat every level with Mario, but that final level, I remember it being difficult. It's like just a super challenging course. I thought I'd be able to do it pretty simply because I've done it so many times. It took me like an hour and a half, and I was so frustrated trying to get through the very end. You're like, you have to run on these dash pads that are just like all dash pads, so you really don't have good control. And these little pressure things are shooting like shockwaves at you on the ground, and you have to like collect 5 keys and run around in the circle. And it just was it's such a ridiculously hard challenge to end the game, which is really kind of easy for a Mario game, but I still love it. It's an unbelievable title. So that one, I finished my review for. Will is finishing up his Bowser's Fury review, so we will have our full thoughts for you on the website sometime soon. But that's really been it. It's been a low-key week for me. I've been slightly busy, so some old-school stuff and some Super Mario 3D World stuff, and that's it.
Yeah, we also wrote up that a piece on Project Triangle Strategy.
Yes.
Which you called a troll's dream.
It is a troll's dream. It is so fun to troll the characters with just being, you know, goofy and trying to get them to there's like, so if you talk to one character and you tell her that, I told her, we're going to turn over the prince, basically. And when I voted not to turn over the prince, she was just very confused. And she was like, what are you doing? Or something like that. And I thought that was a nice touch. The characters like are aware when you're pranking them. So that was a nice little touch.
I really like Triangle Strategy, and I look forward to seeing where it goes, especially with the, because you get some of the connections to the characters you don't fully understand, like with Sarah Noah and his fiance, who's of course the sister of the Archduke, because of course she is.
My only thing, I'm sure they'll fine tune this, all this stuff, but like her and the Ice Mage I could use for his ice wall ability, but what was her name again?
No idea.
Well, whatever, the fire mage princess lady. Like, it took, I think you needed 2 TP to be able to use her fire attack, and it just, I never had. Like, she was never really useful for me. I rarely could use any of her abilities just because it took so long to cast the general spell.
Yeah. So, I don't know, it's something. And again, be sure to check out Tyler's piece on a Troll's Paradise. I mean, how it's a troll's dream, you know what I mean. So... anyway, so moving on to the news, because just when you think that things are going to slow down just a little bit, we are on the precipice of something potentially very huge. So it's time to go down the warp pipe. And of course, we've been waiting for this technically for a while, but we now have confirmation that there is indeed going to be a special presentation for Pokemon at Pokemon Presents tomorrow. Or tomorrow at the time it's recording, and it'll be a 20-minute video highlighting various things about Pokemon. We're going to guess, because at the time, it's going to be more focused on games. I honestly thought, if you recall last year, I can't remember when it was, 2020 was so long, but they did like that overall presentation, like they talked about like the Pokemon centers and you know like they had like the actual head of the Pokemon company to,
Ah,
like, yeah, that
right.
one. So I was thinking it was going to be more like that, but apparently it's only going to be 20 minutes long. So yeah, we'll see, but I think it's going to be more gaming focused. What do you think?
Like I feel like they're gonna definitely expand a bit more onto like the current news that's shown. I mean, of course, naturally, maybe show off a bit with the musical of Post Malone, and yeah, probably other stars as well. So there's that. Of course, new Pokemon Snap, which yeah, maybe a bit more details aside from that initial review trailer, and of course, naturally, there's that whole rumor of the next gen Pokemon remake. So there's that. So I don't know. For 20, even for 20 minutes, I feel like there's definitely some things they can definitely slide into. So there's just a lot of things to wonder. But for know that I have a feeling it's definitely gonna be a new Pokemon Snap details.
Yeah, they'll detail Pokemon Snap for sure, but I also think we'll get Diamond and Pearl tomorrow as well. They like tweeted out a thing with Chimchar and the other starters on I think it was on the official Pokemon Twitter account, which seemed pretty on the nose. So I'm expecting that tomorrow for sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, again, there's all these rumors, and I don't think they were going to get like another trailer for po new Pokemon Snap, but I definitely think we are going to get one new title. I just don't know what it is because just when you think that we understand what they're going to go for, they pull off a swap, and we had no idea. So, like, they could probably say, "Hey, we got two more Pokemon mobile titles coming out," because we all know you like those. Do we though? Do we really? Like, I haven't played Pokemon Masters since like the start. Like, I played it for like a week, and then I went back to Fire Emblem, and I haven't touched it since. The app is just like staring at me at my phone. It's like they changed the icon to Leon, and I'd be like, "Oh, look, Leon's there!" And then I go, "Yep, oh, I'm done. That's it. I don't care." I don't know. We're gonna obviously cover this. It's really early in the morning, so I'll have to, you know, I'll have to will myself awake. Will myself awake? I'll have to make sure
I
I get
mean,
away. It's
it's
9 a.m.
like,
where I am.
yeah, like I was just wondering why is it they had to do these early presentations. I mean, granted, it is Japan time, so there's that, but I just wonder why with these early presentations.
We
could
Whatever.
get Let's Go Johto too. That's
Yeah,
always fun.
that's the other. It's either Diamond Pearl remake or remaster or Let's Go Johto. Like it has to be those. Like one of those two. I mean, because like that's the thing. Because we know Let's Go was very popular. I think the combined they sold over 10 million. So that is more than deserving of a sequel, especially Johto, which is a lot of people's favorite region. And then Diamond and Pearl remaster is just the latest in a long line of, you know, remakes that Pokemon fans will play. You know they'll buy it. We'll just have to see. So continuing on with the Pokemon news though, Post Malone. Yeah, he's back. So he as you know, he's gonna be doing a virtual concert on Pokemon Day, which is the 27th, but he did a version of his song Only Wanna Be With You, and he made it Poke style. And apparently, I haven't listened to this because I'm actually afraid to listen to it. But apparently, it's really good. I don't know. I don't want to make judgments because I haven't listened to it. I have a friend who's a really big Pokemon fan, and she's like, "Oh my gosh, this is so great!" I'm like, "Is it though?" I don't know. So I'm afraid to listen because
Well,
I.
so I saw the headline and it was very funny because it was such a ridiculous headline. It was just like it seemed like somebody just generated keywords and just like threw them at the headline. You got Hootie and the Blowfish in there. You had I Only Want to Be With You and Post Malone and Pokemon's 25th anniversary. It's just a wacky intersection of pop culture and nerd culture. But yeah, I haven't listened to it yet. I probably should because I Only Want to Be With You is a banger. I mean, everybody knows what a classic song that is.
I don't know. I mean, it's fine, but it's no sunflower.
No,
It's
of
no
course not.
sunflower.
Of course it's not.
I mean, it doesn't help you into the Spider-Verse and all that. You know how it is. So, well, we shall see. And again, the his virtual concert, which I'm sure we'll get some more details of at the Pokemon Presents, like Will noted earlier, tomorrow. That will be on the 27th. So be ready for that. I really want to know. I'm honestly might have to tune into that just to see what they do. Like. Because again, they did the whole like he goes animated, like Fortnite style. And I'm just like, okay, I see what you're doing, but yeah, I don't know. Chelsea, I suppose. But wait, there's more. Because of course there's more. Why wouldn't there be? Where was it? Oh yeah, so Japanese fans made a top 30 list of the most popular Pokemon in a poll. Mm-hmm. Guess who's number one?
This was disgusting. I saw this, so if Will didn't see it, he can go ahead and guess.
I have not actually seen this.
Yet. Okay, yeah. It's, it's the number one. Okay, I want to note that of the votes, I mean, I guess, I don't know, I'm pretty sure they only had like one vote per person, I guess. So I guess the numbers are, I'm pretty sure there was less than a million votes here. I really can't tell. But the number one Pokemon, as voted by Japanese fans, I can't state this enough, Japanese fans, is Dedenne. Yeah, you remember Dedenne, remember? From Kalos region, you know? Bonnie's Pokemon, Dedenne. No? No?
I anybody? Remember Dedenne. He's a stupid Pokemon. He's one of the many Pikachu knockoffs that is like the fourth best Pikachu knockoff.
Wait, if he's the fourth, you're
second
and third.
Day.
Well, Pichu,
okay.
Of course. Yeah. And then,
obviously.
The flying one is cooler, too.
Oh, crap, I know.
It's like
was...
the flying squirrel looking
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, I remember.
But
that was Iris. Pokemon.
It's hard to remember all these names.
Yeah,
yes,
it's so hard. Like, I'm a Pokemon guy, and I even struggle. You know?
And Mimikyu, you know what? Maybe he's fifth, because I'm going to count Mimikyu as well.
No, Mimikyu doesn't count. That's literally a cover of a faded-out Pikachu inhabited by a ghost because his trainer... We're not getting into this. It's Pokemon lore.
It's lore. It's a big lore. Yeah.
Okay, I'm typing this in. Flying Squirrel Pokemon. There you go. I know it, and I'm going to hate myself for it. Emolga!
Emolga.
Yeah. That was actually not bad, because I liked his Volt swap.
Yeah, that one was cool.
Yeah.
Definitely better than Dedenne.
Now, I want to criticize, though, our dear friend Andrew Agarest, who was like, hey, do you remember Dedenne? Yes, I remember Dedenne. I watched the anime.
That was
like,
a good article.
On.
I thought it was. I liked the way he phrased it. I thought it was good.
Fine.
He was
all
like,
right.
It's Pikachu, but then it wasn't Pikachu. It was
no,
good.
It's not. Like, usually top three goes between any order of Pikachu, Charizard, and Mewtwo. Like that's the top usually. But clearly this list is bonkers because the number two Pokemon is Sinsinoh. Or Chinchino, however you say that name. Yeah, like really? Like and it gets weirder. Number three is Sableye.
Okay.
Really?
Sableye is a cool Pokemon.
There's better ghost types. I mean, it's just there. It doesn't even have an evolution. It's one of them. It's one of the weird one-off ghost Pokemon. It's just there. So now number four is Snivy, and I'm like, okay, finally we're getting some culture in this list. My gosh. Number five is Magnemite.
And that's like one of the worst Pokemon of all time.
Oh, I wouldn't go that far. Don't you? No, we're not going that far. See, there's a topic for us, the worst Pokemon ever. We're going to do that next week, okay? That'll be our main event next week, worst Pokemon ever. We have never done that. All right, number six is Swadloon.
What even is... I had to look it up. I didn't even remember what Swadloon was.
I want to look at it because I want to make sure... I get it right. I think I remember. Nope. See, I had the wrong one. I do not remember. I know what Pokemon region that's from. Because that's the pre-evolved form of. I think it's Krikatoon. I think.
Altaria.
Oh no, Leavanny. Right, Leavanny. That's right. Because that was another one of Ash's Pokemon. So. Now Leavanny looks cool, but Swadloon not so much. Okay. Finally, at number seven, we get to Pikachu. I don't know how it took that long.
It's definitely interesting, like, appeal base, if anything else. I mean, Dedenne, it definitely has that cute factor. Maybe it's just because we're grown so old now since the first generation. Like, that's maybe just there's that, then their whole generation gap. It's just, there's so much, like, the generation of Pokemons each and every single time. Like, and of course, there's going to be the one that's going to appeal to the whole cute factor. I mean, again, I still remember back when everyone was gushing over Pikachu, and now Pikachu is basically the grandma of a Pokemon, if anything else, in terms of cuteness. So, I don't know. It's kind of interesting as from, like, how each of the fan base is. I mean, again, this is just based on the Japanese population. I wonder how it is here in the West.
Ninetales was robbed.
No, we're not done with the list. We'll get there. So anyway, number 8 was Buzzwole. Yeah, I know. I mean, technically it's not even a Pokemon. It's an Ultra Beast. So it's just like, are we really doing this? Number 9 is Oshawott. Oshawott. I don't know. I think there's cooler water Pokemon than that. Flygon. There's one I can appreciate.
Okay. Flygon's okay.
Flygon's awesome.
Okay. Flygon's okay.
All right. Number 11, Whismur. Okay. Number 12, Piplup.
Okay.
Better.
Okay.
There were 13. You want to talk about useless Pokemon, Tyler? Number 13, Chandelure.
Chandelure, I kind of like.
Oh.
I got a soft spot for Chandelure.
And plus, Chandelure was in Pokken. So,
Pokken
yeah,
tournament,
so,
yeah.
But yeah, that was the thing. Like, I remember the controversy. Like, why is he or it in there versus other Pokemon? Like, you couldn't think of a better fighting Pokemon than Chandelure?
It's the 13th most popular Pokemon. What do you mean? They're not going to put in the 13th most popular Pokemon? It doesn't make any sense.
Stop it. I'm stewing over Chandelure. It's just like, really? All right, anyway. Let's see, where are we? 14, Empoleon. Totally, I'm fine with that.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah. There's a lot of water Pokemon on here. I'm just noticing that. Number 15, Luxray. Yeah, okay. 16, Greninja. How are you not higher?
Okay.
17, Jirachi. See, a lot of people forget about Jirachi, Wishmaker. Okay. That was a great movie. Very, very tragic ending. 18, Charizard. About dang time.
Go Gen 1.
Yeah. 19, Mimikyu.
Okay.
20, Inteleon. Again with the water Pokemon. It started out like all random Pokemon. Now we're like all water starters, okay? 21, Eevee. Come on, it's Eevee. How are you not higher?
Mm-hmm.
22, Barbacle. Really?
Yeah.
23, Glaceon.
I respect that.
And still one of the best Pokemon sound effect entrances ever.
Yep.
We can all 100%. Agree on that. 24, Sfeel.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. 25, Sculpey. Uh-huh. Yeah. 26, Lilligant. 27, Bulbasaur. Finally, a grass starter. Again, like, this is, like, I'm pretty sure outside, okay, there was, like, an infinite amount of water starters, and there's one fire starter in Charizard and one grass in, two grasses in Snivy and Bulbasaur. Like, okay. 28, Sligoo. Why? Just why? Come on. 29, Lucario. I can respect that. And 30, Gardevoir. Heavily underrated. Heavily underrated. Like, is it really?
It's an interesting, it's a weird list, to say the least. Yeah.
I don't know, it's just, and again, we have to reemphasize, these are Japanese fans, and obviously this doesn't speak to the grand, broader spectrum. But because you could do American, I guarantee you'll have an entirely different list outside of, you know, a few standouts like Charizard and Pikachu and Lucario and all that stuff. But really,
again, it's just again different part of the world, different tastes. As I said earlier, it's just again probably it is the generation gaps and all that. Because I think if I have to make a guess, I think the West will probably prefer Charizard right now because of the whole recent boom of the Pokemon cards of recent lates. To get that rare Charizard card, I don't know, so probably that, but who knows, it's just, again, it's just a different part of the world, you never know how they would think.
I mean, my favorite Pokemon is Ampharos, technically, so.
But yeah, another... I'm not over Ninetales, not being on.
It is weird, I mean, regular Ninetales or Alola Ninetales?
Alola Ninetales is better, but regular Ninetales is the second best, so it's 1A, 1B situation with Ninetales. And Arcanine was surprising to me, too. I'm an Arcanine fan as well.
Yeah, Arcanine's another one that's fun. I'm not gonna lie, that's a good one. Alright, okay, next up we're going off of Pokemon. I know it's hard. We got to move on, though. We have Octopath Traveler, which is something we haven't technically talked about outside of references to Triangle Strategy. It has officially sold 2.5 million units worldwide, and that includes the digital sales, which usually are left off of lists like these. So that's very impressive. Because it was like, it was at, I mean, technically speaking, it was at 1.5 after like 3 weeks or so. But still, that means they still sold another million units of a very old school style RPG. So I think that's very successful.
Mm, yeah, yeah. It's good to see that this that title is still going on strong as usual. As usual, ever since like back when it first released it. I mean, again, we all loved it. I mean, I still need to go back to it. We're going to all those eight paths, but yeah, it's just it goes to show you that there is still a market for that classic RPG JRPG flair that this game provides. So that I'm happy for it. I'm happy for it.
And then hopefully that love will translate to Project Triangle Strategy and potentially Bravely Default 2.
Those sales were great. I mean, I feel like 2.5 million is, that must have blown their expectations away, right? I mean,
I agree.
How many Switches have been sold right now? Is it what?
We're at over 80 million.
I mean, I get it. It's not a crazy attachment rate, but for a JRPG, that's a pretty good attachment rate.
Yeah. I mean, don't forget. No, I'm not, I was gonna make a Final Fantasy reference, but let's not. Let's just not. So, but like for this, a new franchise, like that's a fair way of looking at it. A new franchise with an old school aesthetic, with the whole 2.5 HD thing that no one fully understood at first, including us. Is like, what does that even mean? And getting 2.5 million in sales, getting very positive reviews and everything. Yeah, that's. I'm pretty sure it won some awards, I think, like for best RPG or something like that. So, yeah, they should be very proud. And that's obviously why we got Triangle Strategy, was because Octopath Traveler did so well, because there's no way they would have been like, hey, let's double down on this if they didn't sell well. So, yeah, this is a success, absolutely. All right, next up, okay, this is a story that I've been wanting to talk about for a while, because I don't get to nerd out about this very much. We have the Season 8 premiere of Death Battle that is coming on March 7th, and we have gotten the announcement of what the first fight is going to be. Now, I want to give some backstory to this. So Death Battle lives off of the concept of putting characters from fiction and technically some real-life characters in terms of Chuck Norris and Segita Sanshiro. You know he's real. Chuck, not Segita. We all know Segita's real, but Chuck Norris is real. There's a myth he's not. It's weird stuff. So they thrive on the idea of, you know, putting these characters together, but they acknowledge that there are characters that are just so OP or crazy that you can't really do a death battle with them. And two of the characters that Ben Singer, the creator of the show, has said that was banned from Death Battle for one reason or another was Yoda from Star Wars and Mickey from Disney. So guess what the first matchup is going to be? Yes, Yoda versus King Mickey. I gotta say this clearly. King Mickey from Kingdom Hearts. We are going full Keyblade Grandmaster Mickey here, okay? So, yeah, it's gonna be in the Source engine, meaning it's a 3D fight.
Okay,
they showed a preview. It looks totally awesome and great voice acting. And I'm excited.
I'm just, okay, like, just briefly, because, like, okay, who are you gonna bet on? A little guy who basically has force powers, or we're going to Mickey who basically has the power of magic. I wonder who was taught by one of the great masters of Fantasia. I wonder.
Okay, so here's the way you gotta think of it. I'm gonna be going back over the death battles, but you have to compare them to the previous characters that came before them. In this case, Obi-Wan Kenobi and Sora, both of which actually won their death battles. Because they firmly established that Kenobi is faster than light, can technically see the future via the Force, and his Force powers are on par with Anakin, because of their battle on Mustafar. Yoda is stronger than Obi-Wan, so and we know that he has Force abilities that outpace everybody. Because you remember Executive Order 66. He was hearing the deaths of the Jedi all over the universe. He was feeling it despite being planets away. So his Force connection is extremely strong, and he was a Force ghost, so we know that he underwent like severe Force training. So we know he's powerful. The trick here is Mickey, because people are thinking, oh yeah, he's got a Keyblade and everything. It's not just the Keyblade. He's got magic that outpaces Sora, and it was him that was traveling in and out of the various worlds to try and, you know, save the universe, or, you know, whatever. And don't get started on the lore of Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah,
we're not going to do it again.
Right,
I went to it before. I regret it. We're not doing it again. So my instinct would be to say go to Yoda, because Yoda could literally just crush Mickey before he could use magic. But I'm not sure it's going to be that easy because of Mickey's own powers. Like, Mickey can stop time. Like, that's one of Sora's key magics, is Stopra. And Mickey has a version of that. So he could stop time before Yoda uses the Force. So this is going to be a very interesting matchup. And this is just the first match. They're promising an epic eighth season full of matchups of this caliber, including the rematch of Link versus Cloud, which I will scream to the mountaintops when that finally happens. So, or happens again, because that was season one. That was well before like the modern days of Death Battle. But that one's going to be awesome. But this is going to be awesome. It's going to happen on March 7th. Tyler, share your excitement with me.
Sorry. Death Battle? I stopped watching when they lied about Sonic and Mario.
There we go. I knew he was going to say that. Hey, at least Amy won.
Well, of course Amy won. And she's pretty powerful. Pico Pico Hammer. It's ridiculous how...
Knuckles got murdered.
Yep.
Knuckles got destroyed by DK. Shadow.
Yeah, that was probably right. I mean,
Shadow lost to Vegeta and to Mewtwo. So, Tails beat Luigi.
Yeah, of course, Tails beat. That's not close to fair.
Robotnik died alongside Dr. Wily, Metal Sonic. It's a thing.
I remember that one being weird, yeah.
Yeah. They're like, wouldn't Metal Sonic just win? Yeah, Metal Sonic would win. So, oh, there you go. And then Metal Sonic lost to Zero. So, not the best record on the Sonic franchise. So, well, gee, I wonder why you don't like Death Battle.
They're a bunch of haters. They're a bunch of Sonic haters. Well, man.
Haters. So anyway, March 7th, be on the lookout for that. It's going to be a lot of fun. And for those who just actually want like pure Nintendo news, if you're like, wait a minute, how is that Nintendo news? Kingdom Hearts has been on the Switch or on Nintendo platforms, and Star Wars has been on the Nintendo platforms. Deal with it. Anyway, but for those who want pure Nintendo news, we do have confirmation about the Smash Brothers Direct for Pyra and Mythra. We all knew this was coming, we just didn't know when. We now know it'll be on March 4th. At 9 a.m. Eastern time. What is it again? That's 8 a.m. where I'm at. Like, what is with these early times, Sakurai?
Japan time zones.
But I don't buy that because in Japan, like, I was looking at the times for the Pokemon Presents, which is tomorrow, which is around the same time. That's midnight Japan time. Like, why? Are they just, like, you know, late sleepers like I am? I don't know.
You'll be surprised. Again, some people work through the middle of the night, and of course, that's the only time where anime actually gets shown, so you don't know. Yes.
Anyway, but it is out on March 4th at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, and you can obviously expect a detailed breakdown of both Pyra and Mithra's powers, the final smash, the moves, and obviously some great jokes from Daddy Sakurai.
And of course, I just wonder what will be the Mii costumes, because again, he always show off the Mii costumes.
That's
that.
True.
And of course, we're going to Amiibo information. There's that.
True.
And of course, just want to have another disclaimer. There will be no other Smash characters revealed in this presentation.
Darn, I was going to make a joke about that, but no, it's fine. Ruin it for me. But no, it's okay. But okay, well, let's talk about that. So Mii costumes. I'm thinking they could do... I'm pretty sure the only Xenoblade Chronicles 2 costume they have is Rex, right?
Right now, Rex, last I recall, yes.
Yeah, so yeah. They could do Nia and... who was your military, that lady that you liked?
Morag,
yeah, she was great. They might be able to do some of the more like humanoid blades, like Morag's blade.
I think
Morag's helmet would be a good pick, for sure. And Nia would be good, too. But I also think they're still missing a few from Smash 4. I think Lloyd Irving doesn't have a Mii costume yet. And given that this is a JRPG, I think that they might do that one. They might bring that one back.
I mean, I'd be very surprised if they actually bring a costume referencing Xenoblade X. So theirs will be something.
If they could do X.
If they're like referencing on Monolith Software games, heck, I'd be very surprised. Like, well, yeah, technically they did have some costumes referencing Telos and Cosmos. So I think that's probably going to be the old costume for Pyra and Mythra, but it would be something if they bring something from the Xenosaga games, so that would be a very nice reference there.
Yeah, so anyway, like that's next week, so actually let me check. Oh, so perfect, that'll be before the podcast, so we'll happily talk about that alongside the Pokemon Presents, and when one of the Mii costumes appears that we don't want to see because it means a DLC character isn't coming, we'll all cry. And you're like, well, wait a minute, Todd, wasn't Rex one? And technically Rex is in it. Yes, Rex is a costume, but the character is Pyra and Mithra. Totally different.
And,
all right.
And there's also a chance that probably be like one very outlandish character like with Undertale or even have its own exclusive music, so you never know. Yeah.
I never know. So you can expect a lot with this. And then when I was writing the article for this, I wanted to find the trailer for Pyra Mithra, and they have like this special Smash Brothers Ultimate channel, and they actually have like the names of the actual trailers, and this one was one day Pyra just disappeared. I'm like, yep, that's how you tricked me, you monsters. Again, I applaud you, Tyler, for thinking that this was a Smash Brothers trailer, but I saw Rex, and I'm just like, he's talking about Mithra, and they're going like, you know, the cutscene to cutscene to cutscene. I'm like, is this Xenoblade Chronicles 2 too, or like, what's going on here? And then she pulls out the Smash letter. I'm like, oh crap, I fell for it. So I applaud you for figuring it out, moment one. So
I just, because I was so embarrassed by the Sephiroth thing, especially because I've become such a fan of One Winged Angel just as a song, that I didn't, the fact that I didn't realize that right away was tough for me. So I really wanted to bring it on on this one.
Sephiroth. I still maintain that I got my draft pick correctly.
No.
Say, yes.
No.
Yes.
No. No. Again, this is coming from a guy who loves waifus. No.
Oh, I know you love waifus as well. I know. All right, moving on to the game that is actually coming out very soon, and we will be reviewing it here. I've already confirmed it with our dear boss, King Koopa Keith. Bravely Default 2. So the reviews have already been coming out, and it's been mostly positive. Lots of good and greats. IGN gave it 8.0, which is dangerously close to 7.7, but I digress. No, 7.8. Too much Bravely. Or too much Defaults. You never know. But an 8.0 is still pretty solid. And the producer of the game, Masashi Takahashi, was talking about one of the big changes of moving it from the 3DS, which is where the first two games, I mean, the first game. How are we going to defy Bravely Second? Like, even they were like, well, it is the sequel, but it's not a sequel.
Yeah, it was the sequel. Like, at the time, it was the sequel. Like, I don't understand. This Bravely Second, or Bravely Default 2, is a terrible name.
Yeah. So, anyway, whatever you want to define it. The original games, there you go. The original games were on the 3DS, and then obviously they moved to the Switch, and that meant that they could do better graphics, better music, and more. So Takahashi talked about it and said, quote, "We were able to make great strides in everything from the graphics to the music and characters to make it feel like a true sequel. Even with all the improvements, though, we felt it was important to make sure it still resembled the previous titles in some way. As an example, if you look at the towns in the game, previously we wanted to make and create a feeling that players are walking on a painting in a 3D stereoscopic view. To keep the same feeling in this title, we decided to create the town as if it were papercraft. Once we prototyped it, things fell right, and we decided to fully embrace the idea," end quote. So, yeah. So there, you are going to feel like this is a Bravely title, no matter which one you played before. He did note, however, they did have to do some things differently, because obviously on the 3DS you had two screens, and on the Switch you got one. So like all the UI was made from scratch so that it would work within the one screen that you were going to be playing the game with, regardless if you play it in handheld mode or on TV mode. So,
Like, personally, for me, I'm just kind of one of our colleagues, because Joshua JJ is a very hardcore fan of the Bravely series. I still remember actually buying Bravely Second for him for like a Christmas gift. And I wonder how he's going to wonder about the game, but I digress. And just seeing this game's the reviews right out there right now, and it seems to be, again, it is a very tried and true JRPG. Again, a standalone Bravely game. If you haven't played the other games, that's great. And just, again, this is very, it's a very full-on fledged JRPG through and through, grind and all. So overall, I can't wait to see how this game performs.
Yeah, I loved the first two, and I'm very excited to get this tomorrow. I saw a couple reviews. It went a little bit higher. So one review gave it a perfect score, actually. So that was exciting. I think Games Radar gave it a perfect score. I've only seen one or two that were like mixed to negative. So it seems to be another hit. If they followed the formula from the other two games, I'm sure that I'll love this one as well.
We'll see, and I'll be the one reviewing it for the website. So I will do my best to get as far as I can within the 2 weeks, or if I beat it by that time, I will keep you all apprised, so stay tuned for that. All right, and for our main event, we're going to do something we've honestly never done before. We're doing an auxiliary draft. Yeah, let's just go right to it. It's time for another Nintendo draft. All right, we're not welcoming the commissioner, but we'll tell
what?
Him. Now you, you had your podium, you blew it. Auxiliaries don't count.
Yeah, I agree. Right. I totally agree. Actually, this is so fair.
But since you are the commissioner, technically, please explain how this auxiliary draft of ours is going to work.
So, given last week's exciting Nintendo Direct, we have a nice idea of what the lineup looks like, the games lineup looks like for the next 6 months or so. So we're going to do 5 rounds. In the first round, we're each going to draft a first-party title coming out in 2021. We're going to pick our favorite title, 2021, no repeats, obviously, that's a draft. Round two, we're going to do third-party games. Round three, we're going to do games that are outside our comfort zone, genres that we don't usually play that we might decide to scoop up. Round four is going to be 2022 titles. And round five is going to be just whatever games are left. Pick your favorite game that you didn't get to say so far.
Okay. So, Kamish, would you like to go first?
I would love to go first. I would love to go first. So, my first party title 2021 is Mario Golf Super Rush. Mario Golf Super Rush to me is it's an absolute must-buy. It looks like a creative take on the game, much like Mario Tennis Aces was. However, I have a little bit more hope for this one than I do for Aces, because Aces' limitations were online, of course, but also the balance was totally off on the gameplay. And in Mario Golf, the balance is pretty impossible to have be off. You know, it's a golf game, so you're really not going to have a ton of issues with going up against the Bowser Jr. who you just can't beat. So I think that the creativity that Camelot has brought to the recent Mario Sports titles is going to translate really well into Mario Golf. Plus, the Speed Golf looked great. Looked like an absolute fantastic title. I am passing on Skyward Sword. That's just not my thing. You know, I don't really like that game that much. There was one other first-party game that was kind of in the mix for me, but I can't even remember it because it wasn't as good as Mario Golf. So there you go. Mario Golf is my first pick.
All right.
Yeah, I'm basically trying to figure out like what other games like first party for.
Well, Nintendo. You don't have to figure it out because I sent you the link all the first party games.
I'm looking at the links. I want to know that I listened to our commissioner and I was very obedient in looking at the. I'm so sad that you know Will doesn't listen. I mean, I listen. I do.
Okay.
It's in the Discord chat, Will, if you want to check that out.
Yeah.
All right.
While he's looking that up, I shall go next, because obviously I know my pick. There are a couple of first-party games that I'm obviously interested in, and obviously by this time next week, we could have a few more to talk about, but the one I'm honestly looking forward to is new Pokemon Snap, because this is a title we've been waiting for so long. It feels like... I'm pretty sure it's been 20 years, because, you know, it came, like, relatively late in the N64 life, I think. I don't remember now. But even if not, that's still over 20 years of, you know, waiting for a sequel that we should have gotten a long time ago. Especially on... I'm sorry, but I feel the Wii U was the missed opportunity. I mean, especially with the whole you could hold the controller up to the screen. That could have been your camera. That was perfect.
Yes.
But anyway, I accept it on the Switch. Yeah, I accept it. But the reason I'm looking forward to this is because they've had 20 years to say, okay, how can we make this as good as the original and yet better. And they have like three times the amount of Pokemon, and I bet you they're going to do DLC with like new islands with new Pokemon. And they have obviously improved the graphics. It looks really good. They said that it's going to have a more natural feel in terms of them interacting with their environment and everything. And obviously there's going to be more islands to explore. And I just feel that it's going to be a relaxing game. And I feel like that's something that a lot of us need at times. Because we got the action titles like your Zeldas and your RPGs, and you got your fitness titles like Ring Fit Adventure, which is still breaking Will one bone at a time. And but sometimes you just need a relaxing game. You go, you know what, I want to go take pictures of Pokemon. I want to go see a Pokemon in the wild. And so you just pop up Pokemon Snap and go, oh, that's a perfect shot. Oh, that's a great shot. Oh, I can do better. And like, and again, you're not going to be mad when you take a bad picture because you're like, okay, let's just run it again. It's a Rails game. Just run it again. Let's get that better shot. So
also, Grookey is on the cover, so you know it's going to be a good game.
So I feel that there's a lot to enjoy there, and this will definitely, I personally hope at least, that this will be a title that they're going to say, yeah, let's keep running with this. Let's keep like adding to it. Let's keep adding more Pokemon. Because they got like almost, they're getting close to 1,000, and yet they only have like, I think they said like 200 some in here, which is still a lot of Pokemon. So I'm looking forward to that. And if it wasn't for Bravely, that would be like the next game I would get. So there you go. I choose new Pokemon Snap.
Will, your first pick?
So you pretty much nailed all the like the top picks for all the first party titles. Yeah, Mario Golf Super Rush is there. Mario New Pokemon Snap's there.
If you were prepared, you could have gone second.
Yeah. So I get that. So I would probably say Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword HD. But again, I have pretty much completed that game on the original Wii, so that thing pretty much is out of the topic. And there's really nothing else on the first party, so you pretty much left me for a sloppy second.
Yeah, guess what? You got to pick one.
Yes. If anything else, I think the only thing that's kind of like the first party title I actually would like to maybe play again is Miitopia. Yes. I said it, and I don't know. I played the original 3DS, and maybe this is definitely have a bit more improvement that maybe is warranted the extra price. And again, just the ideas of having your own personal creations. Again, that what we discussed last week. Like, yeah, I just can make Tyler or Todd as the Dark Demon Lord as it is, or just make my own little characters, real or not, in this like fictional setting as an RPG. Because again, this is a straight up RPG. It is legit. So, and of course, naturally going to the whole extra aspect of actually having a horse. Like, yeah, I just kind of got. I'm sorry, that whole barn pun, like a very barn of a good time. Like, what the heck was that joke? Like, there's that. But overall, Miitopia is definitely the diamond in the rough first party game that not many people has given a chance to, just because of the whole Mii situation. Which that's kind of the one thing I'm also curious as well. Like, will they bring back the Miis or like in one way or another? Because ever since the whole Wii U era, like Miis was so popular, and actually it was quite a thing even back on the original Wii. So I just wonder, is this something they're gonna try to resurgence back again, or is Miitopia trying to test out the waters again? So I wonder.
In Mario Golf, you're playing as a Mii.
Right. So are they trying to try to make that Mii resurgence once again, try to get it back into trending? So, Miitopia definitely is the diamond in the rough first party game, but it is definitely a solid RPG. So.
That's not a bad pick. I'm surprised you didn't go with Skyward Sword HD, but I respect it. You get to go first in the second round as well.
Ah, the second round. That's the end of the year.
So this is a third party title. That's coming
gee,
out.
I wonder what he's gonna pick.
Yeah.
What you want me to go and pick out like a lewd game? That I would gladly do so, but unfortunately there's no lewd games here. So third party title. So yes, I'm actually looking at the list. Rog, thank you, Tyler, for providing the list. Almighty
you
glory and savior.
You shouldn't need the list. The game is right there, Will. I know what you want to pick.
Will is going to pick Super Mario 3D World and Bowser's Fury because it's not a third-party game. And that's
so, actually, the game I will definitely be trying out is definitely Monster Hunter Rise.
No, oh gosh,
yeah, that's a good one.
No, like, he didn't fall. He didn't take it. He didn't go for the easy out. No more Heroes 3.
As much as I would like definitely would play No More Heroes 3. I mean, again, I am a hardcore guy, but I am very much more curious on regarding to Monster Hunter Rise. Is because I think back when we got Monster Hunter Generations back on the 3DS, like I had tried a little bit, and it was definitely a fun for a good time, and of course I kind of dropped off on the wagon a bit. But for me, I definitely am much more very curious on Monster Hunter Rise. I want to try to get back onto the Monster Hunter train again. And plus, again, this thing is just, it screams to me. Again, the whole ninjas, the whole Eastern cultures. Again, just the whole verticality of it all. Like, and it speaks to me. It's resonates within my soul. And just like all these different attributes from, like, of course, you have I think the first time in the series you actually have a Palamute, which is basically a pet dog, a ninja dog, as your ally instead of the good old Palico, the pet cats. So again, what's more to love? And of course, you can actually pet the dog. So what's more to love? So, for me, I would say No More Heroes 3, but I really do and want the Curious to go and play Monster of the Rise, just because. Just it seems so much more intriguing. I mean, I even argue probably even better than World, if anything else. But of course, but
that was very rude because I was gonna pick Monster Hunter Rise as my outside my comfort zone game. But now
you can
I
still
can't.
Do that.
No, I that... can't. No, I
yeah,
can't.
That's a different category.
No, but it's still in the same draft. That's the thing. That's where the layers come in. There's layers to this, Todd. That's the challenge.
We're onions. I see.
Yes, exactly. So your second pick. That was a good pick, Will. I respect that. I like that pick.
All right, my third party pick is I'm gonna cheat. I know we're only in the second round, and I'm gonna cheat.
This is not surprising.
I know I'm gonna pick Bravely Default 2 because it's not out yet.
No, that's good. I was gonna pick that. So
it's even more fun. Yeah. But yes, I'm picking Bravely Default 2 because this is honestly going to be my first entry in the Bravely series. I did not get Bravely Default. I did not get Bravely Second, and so you know. I'm interested in trying it out. Our boss is gonna get me the game, and I like RPGs. I've proven that, you know, with Fire Emblem, with Pokemon, with Project Triangle Strategy and Octopath Traveler, and I've played various Final Fantasy games over the years. I have not played all of them. I've honestly picked a rather unique set of ones to play just because they piqued my interest for various reasons. But I'm interested in seeing where this one goes, and I'm a little nervous about the battle system because I did not have the best time with the demo, but like that demo was hard. Like there was like an upscaling and difficulty that was just very hard to understand, and they threw like the class system at me and I didn't really understand it. So I'm hoping that with this actual slow burn into learning everything, I can build my team well enough. I'm still gonna hate Elvis's voice. All right, like they didn't change it. I'm really mad because I'm sure that a lot of demo advice, including from us, said that, you know, they need to change the Elvis voice or at least tone it down, but they didn't. So I'm gonna that's an automatic star reduction, so we're already at 4 out of 5, so it has to maintain its level of quality. But I'm still interested in this one, and it'll be a great one to tide me over until new Pokemon Snap comes out. So yeah, Bravely.
Yeah, that's a good one. Obviously stole mine. I am going to go with Knockout City.
Really? Okay.
So I've seen this. So this was on the Nintendo Direct, and it was on the State of Play today.
Wait, and really?
It looks really,
so now
fun.
Now they're trying to copy Nintendo. They didn't even.
Oh, that was rude. It was very rude. It was very rude.
Did they play the same trailer too?
I think it was different.
It was a different video.
But it's this dodgeball game that you could do 3-on-3 multiplayer. You could make your character a dodgeball and throw yourself to your friend and get yourself thrown at other enemies. It seems like this really wacky, creative game. And as long as the internet works, it should be a really fun game to play on Switch. I think I like the art style as well. I just think it's a really creative premise. Usually multiplayer games aren't for me, so this could have ended up being my game outside the comfort zone. But I'm sticking with it for the third party pick. It was one to keep an eye on. It kind of was quiet in the Nintendo Direct, but the more I see it, the more I'm like, this game's got some potential.
Yes, I definitely agree with that. And plus, like, it's created here locally here in upstate New York, last I remember, the development.
Yes, so they did say that.
Yeah, and also right now, I believe you can actually sign up for like a cross system beta, they said, for this game. So it's definitely going to be interesting. I agree as well. It's like, again, the simple premise of like dodgeball, but you actually can a bit much more deeper in a sense, I guess. Like,
yeah, it's
shot,
like the arcadey. There's an arcade vibe to it that I really like.
Yeah. So it definitely has that appeal. Like, it could be very easily appealing, but has a much more depth layer to it. So yes, like with Splatoon and such. Yes.
So now we are on to the third round, which is games that are outside your comfort zone that you might consider grabbing. Now, there are a lot of games that were outside of, just in every Nintendo Direct has some games that you're like, oh, this might not be for me. Like Stubbs, the zombie, that looked kind of weird, but kind of fun. But the one that I am going to go with is, I had it written down right here.
Right.
Famicom Detectives.
Ooh! Oh.
So I mentioned last week that I had no interest in it. But sometimes games just kind of speak to you. You know, like, so Fallout 3, back in the day, I was reading Game Informer. Not a chance that 2006 me would have ever thought Fallout 3 was a game I would have enjoyed. But I just had a feeling, and it became one of my all-time favorite games. I don't think Famicom Detective is going to become one of my all-time favorite games. But every time I see a screenshot, I'm like, I'm intrigued. Call me intrigued. So there's two versions of the game. I really don't know the difference between either of those. So I'm just going to lump them together as one. If you guys want to take one of them, I guess that that's fair. But I don't think that that's where you're going to go with it. So that's my game that's outside the comfort zone. It's like a point-and-click story kind of game. And I usually like games that are more hands-on and more active. But something about this one seems like it's got potential. So that is my pick.
Oh, all right.
Okay. Bad. So who's next, Commissioner?
It is you.
All right. Mine is actually one that might surprise you a little, but I've kind of mentioned it like here and there over the podcast over a while. And my game out of my comfort zone is Apex Legends. Kidding.
That would be outside your comfort
zone. That would be something.
I can honestly say that outside of, gosh, have I ever done a battle royale game? I really don't know. I mean, I think I have, but not in like the direct sense, like definitely not before the boom. I've never played Fortnite, never played Apex or PUBG or any of that, or Call of Duty Warzone or everything. No, I never played any of them. But no, that's not the one I want. The one I'm doing is the other Monster Hunter game, Monster Hunter Stories.
Oh, okay, that one. Okay.
Yeah, because that one's coming out in the summer. The Rise is coming out in March. And the reason I'm picking this one is I've never played a Monster Hunter game. The first time I even heard of this series was not World, but Tri, T-R-I, on the Wii. Mm-hmm. And I was curious about that one, but then I heard about like how it was like insanely difficult. Like, you know, it's like very intense Monster Hunter game and all that. I'm just like, I'll pass. But this one is much more JRPG in terms of like story and character looks and everything. And I don't know, maybe I'm just going to dip my toes into... And I think this one will be a lot less intense than Rise, which feels like a true, like, full-power Monster Hunter game versus Stories, which, if you recall, the first one was on the 3DS and did rather well. So I think that one will be a much easier, like, gateway into the franchise for me. We'll just have to see where it goes. I don't think we have a definitive release date yet. So we'll just have to see. I'm looking at
I think it was summer. I think it just said a vague summer.
Yeah, here we go. Yeah, summer 2021, Monster Hunter Stories 2, Wings of Ruin. So there you go, very anime name. But this is going to be something I think I'll keep my eye on. And right now the summer is looking kind of open because I, too, will not be getting Skyward Sword. I won't be getting No More Heroes 3.
After all the crap you put me through with Skyward Sword. All the times that you taunted me for not liking the game, you're just gonna not buy it.
Yeah, and I told you why last week. And I told you why last week. It doesn't look good.
No, it does not. It does not
look good. Like they go HD, and then I there's like that scene of Girahim doing the tongue thing next to Link, which sounds so dirty when I say it out loud. And it's just like that's ugly. And then I saw like a shot of like Zelda, and like I don't remember her being that ugly. We talked about that last week. And Link's not much better with like his very pouty lips. And I'm just like, what happened here? Like, I thought this was supposed to be an HD.
But there is one thing that's good about HD Skyward Sword. Groose, come on, everybody loves
that's
Groose.
That's a great point. Do you not love Groose?
You can die. You can die. I'm sorry.
Horrible host.
Hey, you know what we're going to call this place? Grooseland. No, how about I just throw you off of Skyloft and just watch it fall? It's like, hey, why don't you try defying gravity? It'd be wicked. Get it?
Yeah.
Anyway, but yes, Monster Hunter Rise. Monster Hunter Stories 2 Wings of Ruin is my out of my comfort zone game. So there you go.
Will, you're out of your comfort zone game?
Yeah, looking at all these different titles, there's definitely one title that probably is... I never actually delved too much into the genre. And for me, the game that I'm going to choose that's outside my comfort zone, Neon White. Yeah.
That's a good one. That's like, a good choice.
Because a couple of things. Because I haven't really touched a card-based game in such a long time. The last time card-based system I actually played was Button Kaito's back on the GameCube. So like it has been a long time since then. And regarding to the whole first-person like slashing combat style, like very similar to like Super Hot or Mirror's Edge, in a sense.
That was a good game. I like.
Yeah,
that.
Like that thing. I never actually have tried it, if anything else. So I'm
it's
very
on Steam.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and I'm very curious how Neon White's gonna be, like balancing out the card system regarding to like with the like the first person combat of like Mirror's Edge or other like Blade. What was that scientific one that was just recently came out? Oh, man. Yeah, that futuristic that's better than Cyberpunk. Man, I forgot. Ghost Runner. I think Ghost Runner was it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like very similar to that. And plus, of course, naturally, you get the voice of Spike Spiegel as one of the characters, so why not? And like being assassins, taking out demons in heaven. Like, again, it's very, maybe it is in my ballpark, but again, with the whole card system and the first person combat system, it's. Again, I never actually have played such a title before, so yeah, just maybe just put a bit of an anime touch to it. Maybe I would get into it. So yeah, Neon White definitely seems to be like that title that has that strange weirdness to it. I mean, almost in the sense of a Suda 51 game, but this is in a first-person combat game. So first-person combat card game. So yeah, it's definitely gonna be an interesting mix. So I never delved into it too much. So yeah, Neon White is definitely something that I don't know can help me expand on the genre a little bit. So yeah, Neon White is the game that probably helps me get that's not in my comfort zone.
The card mechanic is like what it throws me a little bit because I really like the graphical style of Neon White, but the cards thing, I'm usually not a fan of resource management, but I still like the pick given. Where you're selecting. You get to go first for 2022. I'm going last, and I'm going to have to cheat a little bit because Nintendo does not notably put their release dates that far out. You guys have some that you can use that are definitively coming out in 2022.
Yep.
Go ahead, Will. Lead it off.
Yes. Yeah, I'm just like looking for
control. If you scroll to the very top of the page, I think there's one that you would probably choose.
Hey, I tried leading him before, and then he went the other direction, so don't even try.
It's true.
You know what? I'm just gonna go for the lowest hanging fruit. Obviously, I just want to go and play Splatoon 3. Honestly, for 2022. Yeah, like because obviously, one, I gotta redeem, like for Rapid Bro, I gotta redeem and gotta receive, and just like with that loss that you have given me. of that final Splatfest, I am curious again to see what the story is. And of course, again, we're heading to Hong Kong and just see this new hub world of the Badlands, if anything else. This whole chaos of desert and dry and sand. So, like, obviously, there's just so little details right now at the moment. But like, once they have those Splatoon Directs again, which yeah, remember those Splatoon Directs back in the day? Oh man, I feel old now. But yeah, like once Nogami does those direct against the seeing Splatoon 3 in action, of course, with the mobile spawners, the old bringing back Splatoon 1 specials, and of course, naturally, the whole new weapons of the bows and what other weapons they probably bring in the theme of this of Splatoon 3 is just. There's just so much potential. Again, I just wonder what is the story of the next agents, Captain Cuttlefish, the agents, of course, Callie Marie, and Off the Hook. There's just so much deep lore. I really can't wait to go and delve back into the world of Splatoon again. So yeah, Splatoon 3 for me for 2022.
Todd, your second pick in the 2022?
I will pick Metroid Prime 4. No, I'm joking.
He's leaving.
I'm not making that bet. Nope, I'm not making that bet at all. I'm not even gonna make Breath of the Wild bets because who knows at this point. No, I'm gonna go for I will also go for the low hanging fruit and say Project Triangle Strategy. Because that game, just in a demo, like already has me absorbed in the world. Like, I love the characters, the voice acting was top notch. It will take me a little while to get the flow of combat because I know I messed things up even with my benefit of hindsight. But once I get the hang of it and once I like more eke our way into it, I think it's definitely going to be on par with Octopath, like which if you dear listeners recall was one of my favorite games of the year when it came out. It was that good. I just think that I love how they didn't. It would have been so easy for them just to say, "Hey, let's just make like another Octopath game. Like let's just keep that mold and just do it again." But no, they're like, "Nah, let's keep it, but change it." And so now we have like now we have a focus team versus eight, you know, unique characters with their own unique stories. But you know, we're going to do this overarching, and we're going to have you know a severe, as Tyler has helped me see now, a very different story based on your decisions, which is critical, which I love. And I think there's just a lot of potential there. I don't know how well they'll execute. That's always a question. And even I'll admit that Octopath wasn't the best at times with certain storylines, but I'm looking forward to Project Triangle Strategy. I just pray to all that is holy that they don't keep any part of that name. You know?
Yeah, I
it was
mean, maybe
one.
strategy can stay.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. I don't know. I kind of just like, I mean, let's just keep it simple. Scales of Conviction. Or
That's
something like that.
good.
Yeah, I mean, like, because that states exactly what it is. It's the Scales of Conviction. Like, and they can just tie that into the trailer. It's like, what choices will you make on the Scales of Conviction? Like, end trailer right there. That's it. That's all you
Yeah.
need.
I like
So,
that. I
you're
like that
welcome.
name. I'm in
That's
on that.
why I'm the host. And but no, I think that this is a really potentially great RPG, and I hate that I have to wait until 2022 to play it. And that's just the truth. I hate that I have to wait because I want to play it now. That demo was just so good. And also, if you think about it, if this is the middle of the game. And they have the battle system, the voice acting, the music, obviously the story all thought out. Why are we getting the demo for a game that's coming out in a year?
It's weird. It's very
Yeah.
weird. I completely agree with you. The demo was so polished that it's like how far in development are they? That like it was so good. It was a really good demo and it was in the middle of the game. Like I'm sure that they want to when you're creating all these branching stories, I'm sure it's difficult. But they'll recycle maps guaranteed and stuff like that. So yeah, I
But
am
you see,
surprised as
I don't
well.
know if that's true because think about it. Like just in that demo, we had two entirely different second battles based on your decision.
Yeah.
So, and it
I
could
hope
be,
not, but
yeah.
it's just think about it, right? Because imagine if the gameplay loop is after every chapter you do a Scales of Conviction thing. Who knows if that'll be the actual pacing, but it's battle scales. Like, is there going to be a new branch every single time? And they're not going to reuse any maps in a 20 plus chapter game? That would be a lot of work. And maybe they'll do it, but I feel like they're going to reuse maps.
I think that like one of the reason why they like released the demo right now because as they said like we're going to the skills conviction of the three main traits and of course we're going to the branching paths. I think they really are trying to really focus on that aspect because like each decision will diverge for another person. So maybe they really are taking up that task of making branching story paths like to the points. Maybe a little bit to the maybe up to like upset to the what's the term? Really like a perfectionist kind of scale because
Yeah.
like yeah we always see heard games like yeah your decisions will matter like unfortunately like, there are only some games that actually do make like have your decisions even the minute decisions actually matter in the main gameplay. I mean like Mass Effect and such, but here in yeah in Triangle Strategy so far it seems like they really want to put the emphasis like a little bit like with Fire Emblem of like anything that you do it will come to bite you back.
Well,
So
I mean, I would disagree with the whole Mass Effect thing because we all know what happened to Mass Effect 3.
that yes oh yeah that's probably a bad example, but yeah
Oh, he's
like
a joke, Will.
and but we've definitely seen like games that always promise that freedom of choice and cause and effect. Well, it doesn't really deliver in the end. So perhaps that this game is gonna try to fulfill that long overdue promise of that. Like maybe it would be the first game that actually says like yes, this the choices will actually do matter. So yeah.
Yeah, I hope so. I agree. That game has just so much potential. So as I alluded to, those are the only two games that I could find with a firm 2022 release. So I'm going to go with my final pick. I won't cheat and say Breath of the Wild because that'd be cheating. And I won't cheat and say Metroid Prime 3. That would be also just like too good of a game to just steal, or Metroid Prime 4. So I'm going to say Untitled Sonic the Hedgehog game. Because if we are due for a Sonic the Hedgehog game. There hasn't been a Sonic the Hedgehog game since, I think, 2017 was when Forces came out. So there should be a new Sonic game coming out. And they haven't announced anything yet for this year. Maybe there will be something this year. But I'm thinking we're going to get a Sonic Mania 2 in 2022. That's in my gut. So I'm going to cheat. I'm going to pick Untitled Sonic game in 2022. And that's just, we're going to have to live with it and move on to the next round.
The way I can see, going with your nomination is, like, I could definitely see there is definitely a chance of a new Sonic game. Because, again, when was the last time we heard something from the Sonic team? It's been forever. And plus, Ash, of course, naturally, with the whole news of, like, the new Sonic voice, I mean, who's going to voice the new Sonic? So that's one thing I'm curious about. So there's definitely that. So, yeah, like, what is Sonic Team doing right now? Granted, that is a good question. Yes.
Yeah, I'm surprised Roger came out and said that he quit, too, instead of he wasn't fired or let go. He hung it up. That sidebar aside. The final round is miscellaneous games. So any games that we haven't mentioned yet, we can take here. I'm going to take Disgaea 6. I've not played a Disgaea game, but on the Project Triangle theme, I heard that it was, I didn't even know what the gameplay was like, but it turns out it is similar to Final Fantasy Tactics with the grid kind of style, and it's much more anime, but I appreciated some of the gameplay videos that I looked up. It looks like a lot of fun, a high energy sort of strategy game, and I think I'm going to check it out in the summer. It looked like a fun title. So Disgaea 6 is going to be my miscellaneous.
I'll let you know right now, as I am a bit of a fan of Disgaea series.
I thought you were.
He is.
And I'll let you know right now, it's just crazy. I mean, the storyline itself, like, there is definitely a good cast of lovable characters throughout the series. And they actually, like, I probably should write an article about this, but they also just recently announced that there will be DLC characters, but also going to be, this is kind of part of my culture side, but basically they announced that they're going to be having a Hololive character is going to be as DLC characters, which, yeah, if you don't know Hololive, just type it on Google, you know, it's basically a deep rabbit hole. But Disgaea 6 is definitely kind of, from what I've seen the story so far, it is definitely, it is nuts. It is definitely nuts.
Would I have to play the sequel, the prequel?
No. I mean, aside from the whole theme of the Netherworld, there, like, again, with the Disgaea series, it's basically, there's the Netherworld, there's heaven, there's hell, there's earth in between, there's a Sentai force there, and of course you just gotta know it's the Prinnies, dude. Which, yeah, just remember the Prinnies, they say dude, D-O-O-D, dude, and I think you'll be okay. So.
Got it. Thank you. Yes,
that made no sense at all.
I'm gonna need to consult Will throughout my...
Again, that's what the Disgaea series is. It is insanity, Todd.
I know, because like the damage you deal is like in the 10 millions or something.
Trillions.
Like that.
It's actually in the trillions.
Trillions. So that's a thing.
It's just kind of interesting to see, because again, like, the games itself doesn't take too much space on the disc or in cartridge. So, like, it's not that hard to make. It's just how they implement it this time around. So again, the Disgaea series is a fun time. It's a fun time.
Todd, what would you like for your miscellaneous pick?
Is it said Todd? Hi. Okay. That's me, the host.
Yeah, Will, you were going third. You've gone third every time.
All right.
He hasn't gone third every time. He was first, never mind.
Yeah, you know what I meant.
I really don't. Anyway,
then you should be a better listener. Go ahead, make your pick, Todd.
I will, thank you. I don't know, it's tricky, because I want to say, like, you know, whatever the new Pokemon game that we're hoping we're going to get announced tomorrow, or... I don't know, there's still a lot of, like, mystery in, because, like, we know, for example, that we're going to get Breath of the Wild 2 news, but we don't know what it's actually going to be. So, and for all we know, it could be saying, hey, we're still making it, and, you know, here's a little teaser, but we're not doing, you know, whatever, this, that, and the other thing. So, I don't know if we really have another game. I mean, No, not really. There's honestly, I'm looking through the list and, you know, there's some interesting things, sure, you know, like I could get, but is there one that really speaks to me, like right now? There honestly isn't, though. I mean, there's new Pokemon Snap
You mean
and.
to tell me you're not going to get Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 plus 2?
Dude, I have to Pro Skater 2 on the N64 in its prime, at its peak, in all of its glory, and with the songs that I still remember. And I actually won a bet because I remembered one of those songs, and it was in a genre that I never listened to. And these punk idiots were like, "Oh yeah, I bet you know no songs on this CD." And I go, "Okay, play it." And I go, and they start skipping, and they get to this one song. It's called like Worlds Collide. You know, are you
Oh.
ready to go? Are you ready? Yeah, and so I started singing that, and their eyes were like bugging out, and I go, yeah, shut up. So good times, but no, like right now, there's nothing that's really speaking to me. That's still on the draft board. Like I'm probably gonna get Mario Golf. I'm not gonna lie, I'm probably gonna get that because I think that it impressed me enough.
Yeah.
But I'm not gonna get Skyward Sword HD. I didn't get Twilight Princess HD, and that's like my favorite Zelda title. So I just don't have the need. So I rather just wait and see, 'cause I know, especially after that last direct, that there is gonna be something else in 2021, first party or third party, that I'm just gonna wanna get, and I'm gonna be so hyped for. And we might find out about it tomorrow. I don't know,
I
but.
can't believe Will is your you just left Will a free great pick.
Dude, by all means.
So yeah, I think this actually is the proper category to choose this title. It's No More Heroes 3
It's No More
because
Heroes 3.
yes, it is.
I told you I wasn't gonna play that. I told you
I
that.
just I was just surprised that you didn't take it. I was all I was just surprised.
Pass.
You traded out. You traded out of the fifth round. You got some extra picks next year.
Exactly. It's like I'm looking to the future, Tyler. That's what a great GM does. You can play for
Sorry, Will.
now, or you
That
can
was
play
where
for
I
later.
was. No More Heroes 3.
Yeah, like what's more there to say about Suda51's madness? It's again aliens, send and destroy, going into this, and of course, just so much in-game references to Star Wars wrestling and everything else in between. Like, what more else does you need to me to explain about the craziness and the Garden of Madness, which is Suda51? Like, yeah, this game is just. Like that's again, I cannot say this much more enough. Like Suda51 will always make games that is completely fresh. It may not be good, it may not be like polished, but it's you can always count on Suda51 to make games that are very crazy and new. Like with Lollipop Chainsaw with Tara Strong, Juliet Starling, and of course naturally Killer is Dead, and of course naturally Killer 7, and just. All these different things, all these different titles of Suda51's repertoire. It's just like his creative madness is just is definitely showing here. And of course, naturally with the last title of Traffic Strikes Again and collaborating with many indie titles like with Hotline Miami and all that, is just kind of shows like what kind of madness a creative process is within Suda51's head. I mean, again, so saving on the toilet and just all the whole tribute to the 16-bit, 8-bit styles of the games is just, yeah, it's just craziness. And I think it is proper why I chose this one in the miscellaneous titles, just because it's random. It is absolutely
It's
random.
the ultimate miscellaneous game.
Yes, like heck, it could also be a bullet hell. I mean, the only thing that probably can go match up in randomness is Nier and Yoko Taro's games, which I don't know if he ever brings a Switch game to. Yeah, if Yoko Taro ever brings a Switch game here, then yeah, I think probably would be occupying this miscellaneous title. But as of right now, Suda51 clearly has that category locked down. So yeah, for me, No More Heroes 3 in the miscellaneous.
All right, Tyler, actually, I'm going to rescind my trade into
Oh
next year.
wow, he's trading back in.
Yeah, I'm
The
trading
team
back
is
in.
confused.
This is what happens when you deal with the Bears, you know. They try and rank up. I'm like, oh, do we really need another Trubisky? I mean, these are the questions that keep us up at night. No, I'm gonna go for the pick that we all. It should come out this year. It hasn't been announced, but it has been asked to be forgotten. But I did not forget. I did not forget Hideki Kamiya, Bayonetta 3. All right. I am willing this into existence with my final draft pick
I think this
because
counts
this
too.
counts. because he didn't say it's not coming in 2021. He just said he should forget about it so that when it gets reannounced, you can be excited for it again. And I am excited for it now because I loved Bayonetta 2. I really enjoyed the original Bayonetta, and we deserve this game. We should have gotten it by now, but something, this game is more delayed than Final Fantasy VII Remake or Cyberpunk, and hopefully, never mind. But I was going to make two different jokes for this. Let's just wrap this up. So I want Bayonetta 3. I think they're going to unveil it this year to come out this year. It might be like a November, December title. I don't care. I want it. We need it. We're never going to forget about it, Kamiya, no matter how much you want to try to make us. It's coming. We're ready. Make it so. That
I thought
my...
you were going to pick DC Superhero Girl.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. Yes.
No, pass. I mean, don't get me wrong. I heart Babs. That's just how it goes. But no, I wanted to make this pick special. You could call it my Umbrin Climax.
No.
Will shot that down so hard.
Yeah, well, he would. So, but yes, I am picking Bayonetta 3, and so now it has to come out because I will not forget. I will not forget Kamiya. I will not. All right, Tyler, wrap this up.
Yes, that concludes our auxiliary draft. And with that,
wait, what did you pick?
Oh, I already picked. I picked.
Oh, you picked Disgaea. Right. I'm sorry. I thought that was last round. So yeah, much like 2020, I forget how much time has actually elapsed.
I thought you were just gonna let me like shut it down. You know, I was like, this is exciting.
No, but yes, please shut it down. Please shut it down. Let's go home.
It's well, we have made it to the end of the.
Oh, stop!
You know what? You do it.
Fine. with that horrible botch from the commissioner, which is why he only runs the draft. We are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler.
Okay, I can do that part. Yes, last week we asked you what grade you would give the Nintendo Direct, and 70% of you gave it an A, 67% of you gave it a B, and 17% of you gave it a D or F.
Ouch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was harsh.
There's always going to be haters out there.
And of course, naturally, people just doesn't like anime sword fighters or waifu sword fighters in this case.
Yes.
Yeah. And like I made my case last week, it's not that there are too many sword fighters out there. It's just that a lot of the best characters are sword fighters. It is known. Okay? It's known. See, there you go. Jon Snow gets over the wall for Smash. There you go. Oh. Actually, could that work? Because actually, isn't the Game of Thrones game on Switch? The Telltale games?
Yes, there was a. I don't know if it's a Telltale, but there was a card game that Game of Thrones.
Okay, let's stop. We're going too far down this rabbit hole. Daenerys Targaryen brings the fire. No. Oh, Daenerys Targaryen rings the bells.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's Dracarys. Anyway, I don't know. I want to do a poll about the Pokemon Presents, but by the time that we get all the votes,
I will come up with a poll tomorrow.
Okay, that's
based on what happens in the Pokemon Presents. So stay tuned for that.
Yeah, I like that. That's fair. Because I would be like, I was going to do the whole predict the Pokemon Presents. Like, what are we going to get? So, but yeah, do another grading for the Pokemon Presents when that comes out. And then remember, next week we already have our main event. We are going in celebration of Pokemon Day. We are going to do the worst Pokemon ever. Period. End of story. So be on the lookout for that. And hey, give us your worst Pokemon picks, and we'll give you a shout out on the podcast. And of course, let us know about your thoughts on Octopath Traveler making 2.5 million in sales. Were you one of the travelers on that game? Are you excited for the Death Battle premiere? Are you pumped for Pyramithra Smash Direct? Are you getting Bravely Default 2? Let us know in the comments below. So. For Talius Tyler and Wario Will, I am Triforce Todd, and ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time, but we are not out of lives. We made it to the end of the level, so raise the flag!